Before we get started, I want to tell our listeners that you've taken public stands against comedians telling rape jokes. You've talked openly about abortion and one that you've had, and you've dealt with thousands of hateful internet trolls and even confronted one of them who was pretending to be your father who had passed away. And while your memoir goes into all of these things, the one constant theme throughout the book is body image and self-love. Early in your book, you write that the knowledge that I was too big made my life smaller and smaller. How did you break out of that?
There was a big boom, I would say, in the mid-2000s, 2005 to 2010, of a lot of fat women starting to make spaces for themselves online. And just the most revolutionary thing to me was just these women, young women my age, some my size, some bigger and some smaller, just posting photos of themselves wearing clothes and being happy and living lives, living complex, enriching, fulfilling lives. And that had never been presented to me like that before. I had always conceived of myself as a work in progress and as a before picture and as a thin person who had failed, because that's what they tell you. You know, there's almost this idea that fat people aren't real. We're all just broken thin people, or lazy thin people especially. And so when I started to see people whose bodies looked like mine presented in a normal way, that really, really changed my perspective on myself.
And you say that the one thing that helped you gain confidence specifically was looking at photographs taken by Leonard Nimoy, the Leonard Nimoy, the actor and poet and photographer. Can you describe those photos and what they did to you, to your psyche, when you saw them for the first time?
They're art photos of fat women, and they're just presented as objects of beauty instead of objects of scorn. And it made me deeply uncomfortable the first time I looked at it, because, you know, you're taught, especially when you're fat and your whole life's work is trying to become thin, you're taught to hide your body all the time and to never acknowledge the truth of it. And because your life's mission is to change it and to get rid of it and to eradicate it. So to see these bodies presented not as a cautionary tale, but just as something beautiful and worthwhile, was totally revolutionary to me.
Yeah. And just to give listeners a sense of how far you've come from being that shy girl, you wrote, "I always thought that if I just never acknowledged it, never wore a bathing suit, never objected to a fat joke on TV, stuck to flattering clothes, never said the word fat out loud, no one would notice. Maybe I could pass as thin, or at least as obedient." I thought that was an interesting word choice, obedient.
I think it's a really apt word choice. You know, there's a specific set of parameters that fat people are supposed to live by. You know, you're supposed to constantly be struggling to make yourself smaller at all times, you know, at all cost. So, you know, there's a certain set of things that fat people are allowed to eat in public without judgment. And there's a certain, you know, there are a lot of people who will say, well, it's okay to love yourself, but you know, you still need to be working on it. Like, you still need to prove that you're the good kind of fat person who exercises and who eats right and who's trying all the time to make your body conform to this external standard. So yeah, obedience is what it really feels like to me. That's why, you know, I very pointedly don't do that anymore. You know, I eat what I want to eat in public, and it is scary. I mean, this is a thing that I hear almost more than anything else from people who write to me, is I haven't ordered anything but a salad at a restaurant in 10 years. I mean, what a way to live. Like, food is so important to culture and family and celebration, and food is so politicized. And I think that it's really important to decouple it from politics and shame, and to remember that you can take joy and pleasure in food and, you know, not punish yourself for it.
Yeah. At one point, you say that professionals, doctors, dietitians told you that the only way to, quote unquote, fix your body was to restrict food to the point where you would have to live being hungry all the time. Did you actually push yourself to do that at one point?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I've done that many times in my life, on and off. I don't even like to talk about it like this, but you know, there like times when I've lost weight in a drastic, fast way have been from, you know, you eat 6 almonds at 7 a.m. and then at 10 a.m. you eat half an apple. I mean, when you get into dieting where you are only allowed to eat half an apple, like, come on, I should be able to eat an entire apple. I'm sorry, my priorities are elsewhere. I don't want to spend all of my emotional energy and physical energy, of which I had very little at those times, you know, when you're eating so few calories. I want to spend that energy with my family and on my career and, you know, having a joyful, full life.
And what you're describing, it sounds like it's this long journey to get to a point where you accept who you are and you love who you are and, you know, you have this great life. But it sounds like it's almost a whole separate book dealing with the public's perception and a different form of shame, to just have to push that aside and say it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, well, everyone has an opinion on what you should and shouldn't be putting in your body, as though it's any of their business. I did a photo shoot for The Guardian where we had in the picture, I'm drinking a Slurpee, which is actually blue Powerade. Oh, this is too complicated. I'm drinking a blue Powerade in the photo, which is like a prop in the photo. I'm not drinking it for pleasure. And this is a documentary photo. Not that it matters, because I'm allowed to drink Powerade if I want to. But this 15-year-old boy messaged me to let me know that there's a lot of sugar in Powerade and I really shouldn't be drinking that because it's not healthy. And it's like, hey, man, who are you? Why are you talking to me right now? I can manage my own beverages. I mean, there's nothing more annoying than unsolicited advice in any realm, right? And when you're a fat person, that is your entire life, 24/7, people just popping up to let you know that you really shouldn't be eating that brand of bread for toast in the morning. You should be having this bread because it has 2 extra grams of fiber. And, you know, you would know that if you weren't so fat, because we conflate fatness with stupidity and ignorance and laziness. And it's just exhausting. So yeah, the experience of being in public and consuming food is hugely fraught. And I mean, of course, every fat person has a complex about that. Of course they do. I mean, how could they not?
And yeah, there was another point in the book that it is completely cringeworthy of you being in the International District and being a young woman and a man shoving a flyer in your face saying that you should go on this diet. He doesn't even know you.
Right.
And you were able to get out the words, that's just rude. And yeah, and I just thought, oh, that's just a whole other world of harassment that people have to deal with.
It's really presumptuous and short-sighted to assume that you know what's best for other people, what's best for their relationships with their bodies, what they should be putting in, what they are putting in. I mean, can you tell me what I ate today?
No.
I mean, it doesn't matter. I don't want to get into this game where I justify what I eat. But, you know, I had cereal and coffee is what I've had today. I just eat normal things like a normal person.
In the memoir, you mention a phrase, and you write about it as well in your work for The Guardian, this phrase called fat positivity. Can you explain what that is and what it involves?
Being fat is not inherently shameful, and it's not something that you need to apologize for. And that, in fact, valuing your body, no matter its size, is not antithetical to health. It's intrinsic to health, because a lot of people say, oh, we can't have fat positivity because then fat people will start liking themselves and then they'll stop dieting and they'll stop starving and then it'll be chaos and the world will end. But what I always say to that is that you can't take good care of a thing that you hate. So if you really care about people's health, you should want them to, if not love, at least accept their bodies as they are. Why bother nourishing something and taking care of it if you think that it's garbage because you've been told that your whole life?
Well, Lindy West, her new book is called Shrill, Notes from a Loud Woman. And you can read her work in many other places, including GQ Magazine and The Guardian. Lindy West, it was a pleasure spending time with you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. This was really fun.